Welcome to the Everyday Innovator Podcast for product managers, developers, and innovators. Your host is Chad McAllister, who gives you innovation training your customers will love you for. Get ready to take your career to the next level, for the doctor is in.
Hi, everyone. This is Chad. I have the pleasure of talking with Gail Lachman McDowell. She's an experienced software engineer, having worked at Google, Microsoft, and Apple. In 2008, she founded CareerCup, a company to help people get tech jobs and assist tech companies with their interviewing processes. She has also authored several books about landing a technology job, as well as the book that we'll focus on today, Cracking the PM Interview, How to Land a Product Manager Job in Technology. Gail, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Glad you are. I know the audience listening, the everyday innovators, are some of them are in the position of looking to move into product management, and some of them are listening are looking to maybe change roles with another company or maybe even in another industry. So your experiences with interviewing and hiring processes will be very helpful. You started as a software engineer, and then you moved into what now being this really a coach for interviewing and hiring. How did that transition come about?
The transition came about really from two things. One was that I did an extra year in school to do a master's degree, and so that gave me just one more summer. I was doing interviews and interviewing for internships, and so I had a lot more experience than a typical person did, just being an interview candidate. And then the second thing was that I joined Google when it was in a very space of very rapid growth. And so I got brought into interviews and got recognized as one of the better interviewers. And so they just brought me to more and more interviews, pulled me into the hiring committee. And so it just sort of, I just sort of got brought into it. And it was also very natural for me because I enjoyed talking to people about technology and solving hard problems is something that I always really enjoyed.
So you are a problem solver.
Yes.
Very good. So naturally, it was just part of the work you were doing. You were recognized as someone that was really good at helping with the interview process. And you started doing more of that. So it looks like that has actually shaped your career path. And now you're kind of known as that cracking the tech interview coach and less as a software engineer. What was your motivation for making that move?
It's something that it in part just happened to me. So when I was graduating from college, I was a TA in school. So I did a lot of teaching, had a lot of students below me. And I started talking to them about, my interview experiences, and then, getting involved in a lot of hiring at Google. There was just this gap where people were probably very good, but were struggling in interviews. And it kind of opened up this opportunity for me. And then for me, I enjoyed, as I mentioned, technology, I enjoyed coding, but I enjoyed doing a lot more than that. One of the things I loved doing in college that I missed after college was teaching. And so doing sort of interview coaching was this really fantastic blend of being very technical and solving hard problems, but still getting to teach and work with people a lot. And that's something I always just very much enjoyed.
A really great blend of your gifts and the experiences you had then. And teaching in that sense of really coaching people to do a better job on those technical interviews.
Right.
Very good. So let's dive into the topic of cracking the PM interview, the book that you wrote for product managers looking for jobs in the technology role. The book itself is focused on technology companies, and it contains these what I thought was really valuable resources as profiles of product management roles at Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, Amazon, that suite of tech companies. Is the book and your guidance for getting a product management job really applicable to people in non-tech companies also?
I think it is. The book is definitely focused on technology, but there's a heavy amount of overlap between product manager roles at technology companies and product manager roles at other companies. So certainly some of the information, there's a chapter on coding that wouldn't apply outside of technology roles, but there's a lot of other information there about what is a product manager, what sort of things make product managers good at their jobs, what are the interview questions they're asked, how do you deliver a really strong answer about your prior experience. Mm-hmm. One thing that makes my background really applicable to writing these books is that when I wrote these books, I came in with a ton of experience coaching people and working with the same people through interviews and starting to learn, here are the kinds of problems these sorts of people are making. People who are in leadership capacities tend to make this sort of mistake in answering a behavioral question. Hmm. And that sort of issue is common across roles. So certainly some sections are not going to be as applicable. You know, coding questions are not obviously going to be asked outside technology companies, but there's a whole lot of other questions that about how do you design a good product for the user? How do you, talk about your prior experience that really does apply across product manager roles? And I've even talked to a lot of people who have used the book for roles that not only are outside of technology, but actually outside of product management as a whole. Just because learning how to talk about yourself is really valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of us are naturally uncomfortable about selling ourselves in that interview situation.
Absolutely.
Good. I want to get your take on that because my sense as I read it, certainly it is directed towards the technical person. But I also felt that the information about product management in general was really applicable to people in other industries and would be valuable to anyone listening. So you mentioned about what product management really is. Let's dive into that real quick. What product management is actually about and why do you think it's an appealing career?
I think there's certainly some section of people who are drawn to product management because it sounds like leadership, and leadership is cool and fun. And there's like that, power thing that people gravitate to. And, sometimes those people wind up being great product managers. Sometimes they don't. But there's a lot more about product management that makes it really appealing to people. So one of the things that I enjoy about it is really thinking about problems from a very broad perspective. So a product manager has to think a lot about the user, but also think about how do I lead people and motivate people who I don't necessarily have the actual authority to tell them what to do. I can't necessarily tell my developers or whoever is building this product what to do. I don't actually have that. I'm not their bot manager. I'm just a product manager. And so it requires a very diverse skill set, and people are drawn to it who have a very diverse skill set. You'll have in the same company, product managers come from dramatically different backgrounds. And it makes it a very, very interesting role because so many people have their own attributes and backgrounds to add to being a great product manager.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The product managers don't come from just one place. We see them across from different kind of backgrounds across the organization. And you point out that not only is it very cross-functional, but this issue of they need to know how to have influence, influence with people they don't have any true authority over to kind of get them motivated and working in the direction of the product.
Right.
So let's talk specifically about those backgrounds. While they do come from all over the place, I do see more times than not either the engineering fields kind of involved, software engineering, electrical engineering, the development fields, or business fields like sales or marketing. How does that background impact someone's search for a product management role?
That's a great question. One that I really love frameworks. I think they really help simplify and explain problems. And so the framework I give for product management is that, at least in a technology company, you have really four groups of skills you're looking for. You're looking for technical skills, business skills, industry skills, and product skills. So technical skills are obviously being able to know a little about coding, know how systems are designed, things like that. The business skills are things like marketing, sales, etc. Industry skills are things that relate very specifically to that company. So if it's a product manager role at a company building a finance product, the industry skills would be finance skills. And then product skills are the ability to think about the user, be able to actually execute and build this product, manage people, all the things to kind of get the product done. But the thing that that really intimidates people is they hear this and they think, uh-oh, I have A and B, but I don't have C and D. And the reality is that everybody who's in product management entered somehow, and almost nobody entered in from all four things. People have one that they're really strong in, a second that they are a little bit weaker in, and the third and fourth are, you know, something that they're very weak in. And so when people think about entering a product management role, they need to think about what is going to be the thing that they're bringing to the table. And hopefully you can bring at least two of those to the table. Try to get a little bit of, you know, try to make sure those are really strong as much as you can, but try to at least touch the basics of the others. Know a little bit about, if you don't have deep technical skills, have a little bit of them. And then hopefully be bringing other things to the table. If you, you know, have a little bit of business skills, understand a bit about the basics of marketing and sales. So, you know, try to think about, I need to bring one or two things very strong to the table, and the other things I want to have at least a basic understanding of. And you know, recognize that you're not going to be the perfect candidate, and nobody is. Almost nobody has all four of those.
Yeah, these job descriptions are often a wish list of what the company wants, and you know, the person interviewing, and we have to figure out how to put our best foot forward and make ourselves look good in light of that job description. And yeah, maybe we fit two or three of the desired four areas. For a specific company, does the order of those make a difference? And one example I'm thinking about, I believe you talked in your book about Amazon preferring business people with a business background, whereas maybe a Facebook or Google prefer people with a technology background. And does that, or the priorities differ from the company you're talking with then?
Absolutely. You know, the Amazon, the priorities can vary dramatically. The Amazon example is a great, is a great example in that, you know, they don't, the typical product manager role actually doesn't value technical skills that highly. A lot of product managers have no technical skills, but they have these other things. You know, they're more likely to have stronger business skills. They're more likely to have MBAs, things like that. Whereas Google is really big on, you know, technical skills, and they will very often ask their product managers to code. And so you really need to understand what that company wants. If you're applying to Google without a coding background, you're going to have a tough, it's going to be a tough sell. It's not impossible, but you're going to be, have to be really, really strong in some other areas. And so you need to understand what that company wants, and also recognize that it's not always consistent across the company. So Microsoft's PMs, Microsoft has a huge number of products, and some PMs are incredibly technical. A PM on something like Windows security, that's going to be probably a very technical role. A PM on maybe the, you know, a phone, particularly someone who's working more on the user interface, that may be less technical. So you really need to understand that role and what it really needs.
And thinking about these roles, I should probably ask you about the titles that go along with this too, because we're talking about product management kind of, you know, as it is the only title for these positions. But I know I haven't, that's not my experience, and I'm sure you've seen it being all over the map too. So what are some of the titles that are associated with product management?
Yeah, there's a bunch of different titles that are sound very similar. So, you know, when people say product management, when I think about the product management role, what I'm describing is a role in which you are leading the creation of a product from a lot of different perspectives, but that can vary from company to company. So Microsoft has a product manager role, but what the people who work in what other tech companies would call product management, are really called program managers at Microsoft. The people who have the product manager role at Microsoft really work in a role that's more like product marketing manager. So those can vary a lot. You have other companies which have, you know, take the product management role and don't have a true role in product management, but divvy it up between, say, a program or project manager and somebody else who's, you know, more on, you know, takes out little attributes. And some companies have a lot of have developers take on a lot of those responsibilities. So you really have to understand that, what that company means by product management, because it really can vary substantially.
Does this make it more challenging when someone's looking for a role in product management when they're doing those job searches or searching through the information on job boards to try to find the right description? Or will they typically include, you know, product management in the actual job description, even if the title is different?
It certainly makes it more challenging because you don't know what that company really means by it always. You can make a good bet across technology that product manager tends to involve these sorts of things. But it's not, you know, you have to know that you have to read more than that because it really can vary. But one thing that, you know, does make it, the flip side of that is that, you know, there isn't this ideal candidate. So when that has, you know, all of these, you know, that really has great coverage in all these four areas. And so when companies divvied up that, you know, they may have a role that really, really is applicable to your specific background. So that's kind of the silver lining there.
Yep. So you can still shine in one area that makes you a good fit.
Right.
At least for the right company for you.
Yes.
Okay. So let's make this real applicable to the everyday innovators listening and break it down specifically for someone who is not currently in product management, but is wanting to move into that direction. And I get these phone calls every now and then from listeners about, you know, they've been developing products maybe as a software developer, and they really want to move into product management. Let's talk about the steps they should take to start making that transition, and how do they go about securing that first interview. What's the first step someone should take who's not in product management now?
The very first thing I recommend people doing is take that, you know, framework I talked about: technical skills, business skills, industry skills, product skills. Figure out how to expand your coverage there. So if you don't know how to code, learn a bit about coding. This is not a 5 month, 6 month investment. It's a couple week investment. Go do that if you're looking for technical product management roles. Go start reading some business books. Go start thinking about products. Start blogging. Get yourself out there. Get a place where people can look at you and say, you know, he or she doesn't have a product manager role in the past, but look at what this person's thoughts are in this product. They're thinking about it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And also be very open-minded about what's going to be your foot in the door. So don't think, well, I want to be product manager, so I must go to a Google or a Facebook. Be more open-minded. Go to a smaller startup. Go to a place that can really leverage something about your background. So for example, perhaps you have been working in the fashion industry in some way. Go leverage that by looking at fashion startups. And don't just look at the A-list startups. Use your background to get a job that may not be the A-list startups, mm-hmm. but is still an interesting startup that would value your expertise in, say, the fashion industry enough to give you an opportunity as a product manager.
Okay. So first step is really applying that four-part framework and demonstrating that you've taken some real action into learning more about the industry, actually learning about coding, or taking some steps. I wish I could remember the gentleman's name. I think it was last year he did this, where he was blogging about launching a product a week. And every week he put together a little product and launched it. And I think that would show tremendous evidence doing something like that, right? Actually, it doesn't have to be 52 products, but even just putting something together that you launch to market and you go through the steps.
Absolutely. And I think that's really the other thing I really recommend people doing. Like, don't be scared to put yourself out there and to get out there. Mm-hmm. You know, write a blog about products. Spend some of your spare time building a product on your own, or, you know, you don't have any technical skills, fine. Go try to outsource something. Mm-hmm. Go learn a little bit. You know, just if you're applying for a role and you haven't shown you're applying for product management, you don't have that background, and you haven't shown an ability to dive in and take a risk, that's going to be a real concern. Be open to leading and getting yourself out there, and try not to be as scared about what somebody is going to think, or that, you know, you're being too public.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice, that if you're in a role now that doesn't provide you the opportunity to contribute to product development, you can at least do it on your own. And if you spend that time learning what developing product is about when it comes to understanding customers and the real problem, and then starting to craft a solution and working with prototypes and really revolving that. And like you said, you know, there's all kinds of places we can go find freelancers to actually make it real when that time comes.
Right. I mean, that initiative is just so important.
Very good. So that's first step. What about what comes next then?
I think the other thing is just meeting people. It's going to be hard to get a product manager role by just dropping your resume to people on job websites. There's a lot of, you know, unlike a software engineering role where there are not a ton of fantastic software engineers in the US, there's a lot of product managers out there. And a lot of people who are looking for that role. And it's going to be hard when you don't come in with that background. So get out there to meetups and, you know, events, and just start meeting people who are product managers or who are recruiters or who are engineers, or just connecting with people and getting yourself a little bit of a broader network. And then you can then leverage those connections later on to start learning about companies, learning about opportunities, and eventually applying.
Absolutely. And it sounded like from our earlier conversation, having those connections that can kind of give you the inside scoop on what product management is like at a specific company and the kinds of people they want, a business background or that tech background, those sort of things, it becomes really valuable.
Yeah.
Very good. So apply for a framework, do the networking. Is there another step?
I think those are the biggest things. You know, when it comes to, you know, then you start applying and then you have to start thinking about, you have an interview opportunity, and then you have to start really thinking about really preparing for those.
Right. Which I want to ask you about next then, but right before we do that. So this was the context of a person who's looking for that product management role in another company. For someone at a company now, and I'm sure you've seen this maybe at your time at Google or Microsoft or other places, but that they want to move into that role. You know, certainly some of these steps would make sense for them too, but any other insights into someone that is now involved in, you know, maybe they're helping out with the marketing aspect or they're helping out with development somewhere, but they'd like to step into that product management role, what they can do to better prepare themselves to get noticed.
Right. I think, you know, if it's at all possible, it is much easier to try to make that transition within your current company. Otherwise, you're switching companies where, you know, that new company doesn't know you, and you're switching role into an unproven role. Mm-hmm. So if at all possible, try to make that transition into the company. And one thing you want to look at there is, you know, go talk to your manager, go try to demonstrate that you have the raw skills, offer to help out your product manager or marketing or whoever is working in a close capacity, and try to learn how they're doing their job and offer to help, you know, volunteer there and start to develop those skills and prove yourself there. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you can start conversations about, hey, I'd like to actually move into a product manager role. In an ideal world, you're sort of already in the role by the time you're already essentially doing that work by the time they ask. But otherwise, you know, you get out there and ask and you'll learn a lot from the response. Are they open to that? If they're not open to you moving to product manager role, try to figure out why. Is it that they value you and your current role so much, or they actually have concerns about your ability to work in that role? And that's really valuable information for you to understand about why do they have concerns about you working in that role.
Absolutely. That provides good self-reflection insights to maybe do the critical analysis and think about, does this really make sense or not?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I think that's a really good recommendation, that if you're on a team now contributing to product development, that you find ways to stand out and help the product manager and, you know, start kind of informally get that apprenticeship to move that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Very good. Okay, so that brought us up to getting ready for finding the job. And so now let's say we have that interview. I'm sure there's interview questions that come up that people should be getting ready for, but what are the first steps, you know, when it comes to actually getting ready for that interview?
So the first step is know the assumptions about your background. So I'll give an example of this. I was prepping somebody for a product manager role, and his background was he was an artist for a while, eventually got a degree in UI or HCI, human computer interfaces, did some work as a UI designer, and then founded a company. And this was an acquisition situation, so I was helping him prepare for acquisition interviews where he was going to get slotted from, instead of being CEO of his startup, to being a product manager. And so, you know, he worked as a UI designer for a little while, and then eventually founded his own company. His company was very, you know, had this very, very beautiful app. And he gives me his sort of essentially life story. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to this and my thought is, wow, I'm sure this guy is a fantastic designer, but he doesn't know business. He doesn't really know technology. And that assumption that people have is really valuable. And people need to be very realistic about, look at the background, understand what are the concerns people are going to have. And those concerns don't have to be actual justified concerns. It can just be like, wow, this person's done so much design. Can they really think about business and numbers?
Right.
And what I did with him is, you know, I worked with him to say, okay, your design thing is going to come screaming out there. You don't need to focus on it when you're talking about yourself. Instead, talk about your business decisions. Talk about the metrics you developed. And talk about, be a strategic person. They're going to know that you're a designer already. You don't need to dwell on it. So that's kind of one of the things I really like people to think about with their background is know the assumptions. And, you know, frankly, some of those assumptions might be unfair. It might be that you're a woman and people are going to, from your background, presume that you're less technical. Hmm. You're going to need to make it a little clearer that you are. And so, you know those assumptions people have about your background for whatever reason, and shift the way you talk about yourself to really make it clear that those assumptions people have are not really true.
You know, that's advice I have not thought about before. I really appreciate you sharing that. But no doubt that the interviewer has assumptions about the candidate as soon as they look over the resume. And looking at yourself first about what really comes through and then how to really position yourself during the discussion to make sure you're covering all aspects of a well-rounded product manager and not just maybe the ones that shine through. Really good advice.
Thank you.
Okay, so that helps you get ready. So obviously it's the, you know, learning about the company, doing the networking, finding out what they look for in a product management role, looking at the assumptions about your own picture, your own background. Anything else in terms of getting ready for that interview?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a lot, you know, you should know, as I kind of mentioned, know how to pitch yourself, have mm-hmm. a, you know, 1 to 2 minute summary, and then really be prepared for the different types of questions. Some of the most popular types of questions are, you know, behavioral questions, so questions about your prior background, design questions, so things like, one of the most popular questions is, what's your favorite product and why? And that's something that never walk into a product manager role, never walk into a product manager interview without having a very solid answer for your favorite website, favorite mobile product, and favorite physical product.
What's being sought when that question's asked?
There's a couple of things. One is just the communication aspect that comes out in really any of these. The other thing is, by asking about someone's favorite product, you get them to be able to talk about something that they know well, mm-hmm. and you get to see how do they think about it. Is it, you know, you'll have people who think about it like, well, you know, Reddit's my favorite product because I enjoy spending time on the website. But, you know, I'm sure that's true for a lot of people, my favorite website is Reddit because I enjoy spending time on the website. That's true for a lot of people, but that doesn't demonstrate insight. What's right. insightful is when people can talk about, you know, I really value, you know, there's a, for me, you know, for example, for physical product, I have this little pocket that sticks onto the back of my phone to carry credit cards. And what I enjoy about it is that it's changed a lot of the way I do things. I don't carry a wallet anymore. It's made actually behavioral change, but it's something that's very simple and gets the job done actually more effectively than a lot of other products. And you can start going into, why is it more effective? What are my use cases? You know, what am I doing as a user? What do I need? What's the problem I'm having and how is it solving? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things they're looking for is, can you really talk about a product at a deep level, or is it just this very surface level, like, well, I like it, and so that's fun.
Right. Okay, be able to decompose it. So questions about design and a favorite product, okay?
Yep, and then, you know, broadly design questions. So if, you know, what's, how would you, very classic question, how would you design an alarm clock for the blind? How would you design a calculator for a child? And then there's estimation questions, so things like, you know, how many iPhones are sold a year? There's case questions. So, you know, would you launch, you know, how would you price Amazon Prime? Would you launch this product in this country or not? Why? Mm-hmm. And then questions that can be very, very specific to that company. So, you know, what would you improve about our product? What do you like? And a lot of those kind of questions. And then finally, there can be some technical questions as well in a tech company.
Okay. So as you listed through those, the one thing that came to my mind was all of them have the capability to demonstrate a problem-solving approach as you're talking back and trying to, you know, answer the question. Can you walk us through a specific one, or just in general, the kinds of things that you should be addressing that the interviewer is going to be looking for to find out how you solve problems?
Yeah. So one, I'll talk about one of the most very typical questions, which is a question like designing a pen for children. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, you know, again, I talked at the very beginning of this interview that I love frameworks and structure. I think it's just, it helps people understand things a lot better. And one of the sort of main points I like to make to people is at the end of the day, all of these questions are about, would you be a good product manager? And in this case, design questions are about, do you understand the user? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so a bad candidate in that question is like, well, I would, you know, I want to design a calculator for children. So here's what I would do. I would have these features. It would look like this, blah, and done. A good candidate says, hold on, wait, children. What do you mean by children? What age child? Where are they using this? Maybe they, you know, depending on the interviewer, they may say, okay, I'm going to assume that this is a pen for two-year-olds. Okay, if it's a pen for two-year-olds, the two-year-olds are the user, but so are parents. And I also need to be concerned about the fact that they may have of the children in the home who are using it. It should not be unsafe for babies, hopefully. Then they go into thinking about, after they think about who the users are, they go into thinking about what are the use cases for the child. It's not just writing. It's also things that they might unfortunately do. They might write on walls. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give a design a pen for two-year-olds. That's terrible if it writes on walls or furniture, because that's going to happen.
Even so worse really, if it's a tasty pen.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want a pen for two-year-olds. That's, you know, toxic.
Right.
You don't want a pen for two-year-olds that will break if it's stepped on and bleed ink everywhere. And so really thinking very carefully about the users, their actual use cases, not just the intended ones, mm-hmm. and then designing a product around those issues. And that's, you know, if you compare that to the bad candidate who just kind of says, oh, well, I would do these things. Mm-hmm. It would look pretty. It would, you know, they think about it very simply. The good candidate goes through a very structured approach and really understands what's needed to design a product and then goes and does those things.
Okay. So bringing that, maybe that design thinking, you know, approach to the problem of really understanding the context, asking questions, figuring out who the actual customer is, where they'd be using it, how they'd be using it, and showing the steps that you would walk through, as opposed to like your first example, maybe just jumping to, oh, calculator for a kid. Well, I'll, big buttons, you know, big screen, I'm done.
Exactly.
Okay. Very good. Anything else to wrap up on the interviewing aspect?
You know, I think, you know, the one thing I'd leave people with is, again, be very careful about, you know, be very thoughtful about what you're bringing to the table and if what people's concerns are. So if your background, people are concerned that you won't know numbers, make sure that you're very strong in quantitative questions, like estimation questions. So know what your weaknesses are and make sure that you especially focus on prepping for those things. Mm-hmm.
And resources for prepping for those things?
So there's, you know, obviously, you know, my book, Cracking the PM Interview, mm-hmm. which goes through a lot of different types of questions. But you can get a lot of value also out of just, you know, go read what that company asks product managers. And this is not at all about trying to know their questions in advance and then be able to get the right answers quickly. It's, frankly, that'll just make it obvious that you're cheating and they won't see your thought process. But it's about understanding, you know, where their focus is, you know, what do they care about, and also just, you know, research the company a lot, really think about their products, and that is especially valuable when you're talking about applying to smaller companies.
Hmm. Excellent advice. So the whole approach here of looking at yourself, how you fit that framework of the four areas of, you know, technology, business, industry, and product, doing the networking, being prepared for the interview, taking it from that problem-solving approach, and then really the whole design approach of understanding the customer, and knowing the company and what they're looking for. So
exactly.
really good suggestions. And certainly your book contains so much more detail. And I recommend that to the Everyday Innovators listening as a resource to help you prepare for that interview. And if you're making the transition to somewhere else or finding that job for in product management the first time. Very good. I do like towards the end of our interviews, always asking a question, which is, what is a favorite innovation quote or a success quote? And why did you pick that one?
Sure. So this is a little bit different, but the quote is very simple. And it comes from a book called Yes Man. And the quote is just, say yes more. And the reason why I like this is, you know, I read this book that it was probably 10 years ago that I read it. And the story, I think, really changed a lot of how I think about my career and choices. And, you know, the story is basically a guy who really was just sort of at a dead end point in life. You know, things weren't terrible, but, you know, he had some friends, but he had an okay career. And for some reason or other, I forget the background here, but he makes a bet with a friend or something like that to basically not say no for an entire year. And so anything someone said to do, no matter how ridiculous it was, you know, hey, let's fly to, you know, let's fly to China just for the weekend. He's like, he just had a policy of, I'm just going to say yes to everything. And it was, I believe it's a true story. And basically over the next year, his life is completely transformed. And he has like done way better in his career. He's enjoying life more. I think he gets into a very serious relationship by the end. He, you know, has much stronger relationship with his friend. And it really changed the way I thought about things. And it made me be much more inclined to try to get rid of that nagging feeling of like, I got invited to do this thing, whether it's, you know, something with a friend or a business opportunity. I don't really feel like doing it. I don't really see the point. And it pushed me into just saying, I'm just going to say, unless I can think of a very good reason to say no, I'm just going to say yes. And it ended up changing a lot of the things I did. It opened up, you know, the acquisition consulting I do now, it actually started from a company asked me to do it and I didn't really feel like it for a variety of reasons. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm just going to say yes. And it opened up, you know, a huge part of my business now. And I think there's so many stories like that in my life of being inclined to say no, but fighting that instinct now and saying yes. And it's been so, so transformative.
I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I also appreciate you saying yes to the invite when I asked you to be on the show.
Exactly.
You put it to good use. Just to wrap up, what makes this interview a win for you? What do you want to leave listeners with? And certainly, how do they find your books and follow the work you're doing?
Yeah, so they can find Cracking the PM Interview on Amazon. And there's, you know, they can also follow me online, which is, I'm really active on Quora. You can search me there. And then, you know, I also have a website, gayle.com, G-A-Y-L-E, very easy to find me. But, you know, the thing I'd leave people with is two things. One is prepare for the interviews. It's not about cheating. It's about learning how to put basically your best foot forward. It's not gaming the process or anything like that. It's just, you know, putting your best foot forward. And remember what I said about, you know, the story I left you with about just saying yes more. So many people talk about the value of saying no and rejecting opportunities. And there's value in that, but there's so much value in being open-minded and just saying yes to the things that come your way.
Good words of wisdom. I think I struggle with that too, with, you know, because I appreciate focus and what should I focus on? And if I'm focused on something, then that means I am saying no to other things. But right. I find, you know, just a lot of good things happen when I say yes, even just like your example, even when I'm a little uncomfortable and I really want to do that or not, but you dive into it and you meet interesting people and good things happen.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, Gayle, I appreciate you so much for taking the time to do this interview, for the work that you did in putting together the book for product managers looking for work in the technology sector and applicable to other industries too that are certainly listening. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Product Innovation Training Your Customers Will Love You For. To learn more, please check out the blog at theeverydayinnovator.com. Keep innovating.